This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and we're talking sports this morning. The Fan Early Morning Show for the average Joe. And when the average Joe wants to shop like a pro, the average Joe can go to CGR Wholesale, our Fan Early Morning Show sponsor. So the Penguins lose out on the playoffs thanks to an empty net goal scored by the Washington Capitals. The Capitals get that second wild card spot, so that's a frustrating way to lose it. And both games were close. The Red Wings ended up winning as well, but that doesn't matter for the Penguins. One of the two teams had to win, and both of them won, so the Penguins were surely going to be out of it. So that's upsetting. If you want to call and talk about it, 412-928-9370. That's the phone number that you can call, and we'll talk. But now the moment I think you've all been waiting for is a more tantalizing discussion right now. And the short time that I have is Jared Jones and his start against the New York Mets yesterday. So I'd like to clarify a couple things. Now, if you disagreed with my perspective before and you'd like to call in and clarify, you're welcome to. If you find my explanation satisfactory or not, let me know. But I'll take phone calls on this because I'll bite the bullet on this a little bit. I listened back to what I said on Monday, and I learned a couple things about what I said. First of all, it was definitely not the correct perspective based on a couple things. So when I was getting prepared to talk about Jared Jones, I had pretty much the personal experience of being at the game and watching him give up home runs to the Orioles that kind of shaped my perspective. Not that I think that he's a bad player, and I still don't, and after yesterday, I definitely don't. But what I was just noticing is where his pitches were and that he was struggling giving up home runs. Now, that didn't happen yesterday, and against most teams in Major League Baseball, I feel like he could have strong success, especially now in each of his first four starts, he struck out over seven. It's just the long ball that was biting him, which concerned me. But I think the way I communicated that and... Well, my comments were based on two things. So I said that, you know, whether they want to keep throwing Jones out there to pitch some more and figure it out in the majors or send him down to the minors. Turns out there's actually nothing for him really to figure out. Because I just looked at his win-loss record and I'm like, okay, you know, two losses, he's given up home runs. This is my perspective and that's how it was shaped. And again, a lot of potential for this guy and I knew that and I figured that. So... my whole perspective was, you know, take care of him and make sure that he's developing properly and, you know, and don't be afraid to make any moves that may be necessary to make sure that he can develop and continue to be a threat. Well, it turns out that he actually wasn't struggling. I also, for some reason, was thinking when I did the show on Monday that he threw a shutout against the Marlins, which is why I talked about him being on a decline, which turned out to not be true. He actually didn't throw a shutout against the Marlins. That's how high expectations I have of him, though, and the Pirates, is that I'm making up false results in my head. So that's where my perspective was. I was on the notion that he threw a shutout against the Marlins. That didn't happen. And the long balls from the Orioles game, where I was also not fully conscious, were kind of ingrained in my mind to shape my opinion. So with that being said, that was me being, you know, misinformed in my own mind. I understand that he's not getting run support in his starts, and that's a valid point. So the caller that brought that up on Monday, and then the few people that have tweeted at me and said such shit. Yeah, you're right. He didn't get run support. And record is not a great indication of performance anymore in today's game. So that's, yeah. So my bad. And now with a fresh perspective on this, with that clarification, let's talk about this start yesterday. Five innings, 59 pitches, seven strikeouts. And again, he struck out at least seven in his first four starts in Major League Baseball. Very impressive feat. The big question, though, is that why was he taken out after five full innings, after just 59 pitches being thrown? Derek Shelton said it was a predetermined decision after the game, which it makes sense in some sense. Like, I can see what they're trying to do in protecting the young pitchers and then protecting the guys that haven't had the major league experience. I can even understand it if Shelton wanted to give Luis Ortiz some work in this game, because they're trying to find another starter that can be like a lockdown starter, not like a stopgap guy like Marco Gonzalez or Bailey Falter. So maybe they wanted to throw Luis Ortiz in there to give him repetitions in the bullpen to kind of work him up to being in the starting rotation. Because, we've all talked about, we have questions surrounding a lot of the young pitchers on this team who have not had consistent success as starters. Rolandzy Contreras is another case of that. So that's really the big question is, maybe did he want to put Ortiz in there to give him repetitions to work him back up? And it wasn't an inspiring performance either, because Ortiz was charged with all the runs, all of them earned, all three runs he gave up. And the Mets only scored three runs in the game. So that's not inspiring over the inning and two-thirds that Ortiz pitched, and he didn't even make it out of the last inning that he pitched. Jose Hernandez came in and got that final out, so there are just those questions to ask, like what was going through Derek Shelton's mind. Now, we as fans say that we want to have these questions answered about who can fill in the rotation and be more consistent pieces for this team. The only way that Derek Shelton can do that is to put guys like Contreras in relief and Ortiz in relief to just see how they take on those challenges. Now, I'm not justifying the decision, though, because my perspective of it is that what's been working to begin the season hasn't proven to fail yet. You know, putting the pitchers out there, like the starters in this rotation have been good enough to get the team through games. All of them have been good enough to set the Pirates up to win, to keep them in range of winning. And right now, this is the season that I don't think we as fans want to see too much, you know, experimenting, even if that's the case, or being overly cautious with pitchers. Like, I understand why they want to do it. I understand why they want to be cautious. They don't want to throw guys' arms out too early on. But also, I think as fans, we're hungry for success. And if a guy can, you know, pitch, and let him pitch. Now, again, it's early in the season, and there's 162 games in a Major League Baseball season, and starters get the opportunity to pitch every fifth day. Like, I get that. Joe Starkey put this on X. He posted this on X, which I agree with. If we're only limiting guys to 59 pitches and starts now, why not have Skeens come up and he can do that? He can go to 59 pitches. He can have limited, or he can have guideline starts, limited stat starts, a limited pitch count.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I agree with that in a sense, because, you know, Jared Jones is kind of like the same case. Like, they're both similar. It's just Jared Jones was more major league ready this year. He broke out of spring training. Paul Skenes hasn't played a full season in the minors yet, so I understand much of the difference there. But still, I mean, the point stands. Like we're ready to see risks being taken and winning start to happen. And what was working before wasn't proven not to work yet. I mean, the Pirates were going to lose a game eventually, but still, they're having major success trusting in their starting pitchers this beginning of the year and relying on an offense to score runs. Now, Jared Jones, to his credit too, really hasn't gotten run support on the mound. I mean, the Pirates have struggled to score in all of his starts, which may be leading to his losing decisions. And he didn't lose this game either, but he lost his previous two. That's not necessarily his fault when you bring up the run support. So, I mean, that's a good factor to keep in mind there as well, a good point. But it is just baffling. That's going to be the story of the day today. It's going to be what a lot of the conversations, I believe, are going to surround, is just why did Jared Jones only throw 59 pitches? You know, is the limit really necessary? Is the pitch limit really necessary? I get both sides of this one. I can understand both sides. There's an argument to be made on Derek Shelton's side. I just don't know if it's the best for the team. Like at this point, with the way that the team's structured and how they've performed to begin the last couple seasons, I think we want to see winning as fans in a way that makes us want to push. At least, I mean, a little bit more, though. Like, 59 pitches, when you think about that, it's 59 pitches over five innings. I mean, he was averaging a little bit over, what's the math on that, like 12 pitches then per inning? 59 pitches if it was up to towards 70 or 80, I would understand that, especially over five innings, but like, the efficiency in his pitching yesterday was just, it just baffles you that he struck out seven. He pitched, I mean, for five innings, not that many pitches. And they pulled him. I question it, and a lot of people are questioning it, and it is a fair question to ask. Like, the starting pitching this year, the starting pitching has surprised so many of us, too, and I understand that. I mean, when Crowley and I talked during the fan morning show in Doran, like, we thought that the bullpen was going to be the most consistent part of this team, and it turns out that there's been a little bit more hesitation with how the bullpen's performed than with how the starting rotation has performed. Like, the starters on this in this rotation have been reliable this year to start. So I don't get why they don't push them out there more. I don't get why they don't give their starters a bit more of an opportunity to pitch deep into games. And again, I mean, it's such an interesting philosophy. Like, I'm with the modern baseball approach too. Like, I understand that there are statistics that matter. I think that there is analysis on players that matter. The way that they're handling pitchers now, though, and injuries are massive as well. And you have to factor that in as well, because you don't want to lose Jared Jones or Paul Skenes or any other top tier pitcher for this team. You don't want to lose them early in their careers. Like, with all the arm injury Steven Strasburg faced early on in his career, Like, I don't want that to happen with Skeens. I don't want that to happen with Jones here. I don't want that to happen, especially with any young pitcher, but any pitcher at all. That's just the reality of baseball these days, is that you've got a lot of pitchers who throw and they get hurt. So, but I, at the same time, I'm ready at this point for the Pirates to make a push and really strive for winning games in a way that I'm willing to take a little more of a risk and let Jared Jones throw more than 59 pitches in a start. Like, that's not inspiring to me when you take a guy out under those circumstances. Like 59 pitches is not very many. At this point in what they're doing, like, I'm ready to see them take those risks and really make those leaps. At least let them throw more than 59. Like I'm saying, like 59 again. Like, that's too little for over five innings. So now again, Derek Shelton said that it was predetermined. They were going to put him at a pitch limit, and then they were going to bring in the bullpen after that. And again, to his credit as well, you want to be able to trust guys like Luis Ortiz or Roansy Contreras to come out of the bullpen, because again, they're fighting for rotation spots, and if they're not going to be in the rotation, they should be innings eaters. And Ortiz had the opportunity to complete two innings. I think if they didn't give up the lead, he might have gone three to get to the ninth for Bednar. I think Chapman had an off day yesterday because he pitched a couple days in a row. So get to that ninth inning. But that didn't go to plan. I think there's a lot of concern, too, for some of the younger pitchers that haven't done well, like whether they're worth keeping in the bullpen, like Contreras or Ortiz. Contreras, I don't think, has done too much to lose his spot on the major league roster. But I also think Luis Ortiz is a big concern after yesterday, you know, giving up the three runs that he did. So it's just a tough case right now. A predetermined pitch limit of 59 or 60 or whatever it was, concerning. Not being able to trust some of the relievers in the bullpen, though, also concerning. And it's all just concerning now. It's all getting a little, the weight's getting a little heavy for me. And I guess we'll have to see down the stretch here, you know, how they continue to use guys. Hopefully, as May and June come around, they'll take more risks with their starting pitchers. I think it's warranted to do that, because I think we're all ready to see a little more risk taken to achieve winning baseball. And Jarrett Jones is a good pitcher, and it doesn't seem that he's going to falter anytime soon. He seems like he's a solid pitcher for these guys. So put that on the record.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.